And so we come to the Word of God together in Numbers chapter 16. And I would want to move down that chapter to commence our reading at the 41st verse. Numbers chapter 16 and the verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "Ye have killed the people of God, the people of the Lord." And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun." And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless the reading of His own precious and infallible Word. I would want to center my thoughts this evening around the words of verse 48. And here we read of Aaron, "And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed." We're thinking of one who stood between the dead and the living. And as we come to that thought this evening, let us unite our hearts together and ask the Lord for help in the ministry of His Word. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we do thank Thee for the privilege of being able to open up the Scriptures together. And I would ask, O God, tonight for the anointing of Thy Spirit, for the liberty that comes alone from Thee, and that we would have grace, O God, to exalt and to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for any, O God, who would listen, we pray that the Word might come to their heart with power. May we realize as Thy children what Thou hast done for our souls. And we pray, O God, for any who were outside of the Saviour, that even this night, this very day, would be the time of their salvation. Lord, come and minister to hearts and do our hearts each one good this evening. We offer this our prayer in the Saviour's great name. Amen. Well, the news is filled on a daily basis with news about the coronavirus. And they tell us how many deaths have occurred as a result of COVID-19. This terrible virus that has been sweeping right across the world, and sadly, many lives have been lost, and the death toll is rising, and every day you can have that daily update of the figures. Just before coming out to the meeting here this evening, I checked the latest figures, and the death toll across the world stands at over 162,000. The figure for the United Kingdom stands at over 16,000. And whenever you think about that, it certainly makes grim reading. when you look at the figures and the statistics, the death toll. You know, there's a death toll in this chapter, in this portion that we have been reading from this evening. A death toll that was due to the plague that swept across the camp of Israel. The plague that struck as a result of sin and rebellion, where God moved in judgment and God moved in wrath, and many, many were being slain. You may have noticed in our Bible reading that the figures were given. When you look there in verse 49, it says, "Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah." And so here we have, with this plague, the judgment of God sweeping through the camp of Israel, and almost 15,000 have lost their lives. And we can relate to that just in some degree and measure, because what we're reading off here happened in one day. In fact, the passage would speak about the Lord coming with his wrath in a moment. And so it was happening very quickly here, even quicker than what we would be witnessing with the coronavirus. You notice there at the end of verse 49, it mentions also those who died about the matter of Korah. You see, this chapter, Numbers chapter 16, is a chapter that speaks about sin and rebellion against the Lord and against his servants. And Korah, along with two others, Dathan and Abiram, they rose up against Moses and against Aaron. 250 princes joined with them, and together they were opposing the Lord's servants. And you could take time to go into the earlier parts of this chapter, and you could read all about that rebellion. And you would find how the Lord intervened and how the Lord dealt with their sin. He did, in a remarkable manner, deal with those rebels. If you were to glance into the chapter to the verse 32, and you'll see we read there, "And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained unto them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation." What a remarkable judgment that was, that just in a moment the earth opened its mouth, swallowed them up, and then closed again, and they perished. They were swept away because of sin and rebellion. The 250 princes that were joining with them, they were also judged. And you would see there in verse 35 of the chapter, "And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense." And so not only has the earth opened up and swallowed Korah, Dathan and Abiram and all their houses, but here the fire of God has fallen upon the 250 princes and they have been consumed. And here before us is a demonstration of God's wrath against sin. A swift judgment that came upon these individuals. The camp of Israel have witnessed this, an outpouring of God's wrath, an outpouring of judgment against sin. You would imagine that that would have had some impact upon them. You would have thought that from here on in their wilderness journeys, they would have treaded so carefully. They would have been walking softly and humbly with the Lord. Here was something that happened that ought to have had a deep and a permanent impression upon their hearts. Lessons should have been learned here. Those who opposed the Lord and opposed his servants were swallowed up into the pit. those who stood with them and joined with them, the 250 princes, they are consumed by fire. God was speaking. God was giving here a warning. And they would have done well to have heeded the warning, that there would be no more murmuring. There would be no more sinning against the Lord. And yet, where we took up our Bible reading this evening, it is quite amazing to read. In the opening words of verse 41, it says, "But on the morrow." And so we're looking at the very next day. The day after all this has already happened, where the Lord has swept away those rebellious individuals in an instant. It's the very next day. It's not a week later. It's not a month later. It's not a year later. It's the very next day. And what happens the very next day on the morrow? It says, "But on the morrow, all the children, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, 'Ye have killed the people of the Lord.'" And so here we see them reverting to that besetting sin of murmuring. Murmuring against Moses and against Aaron. Rebelling against the Lord's servants, actually blaming them for the killing of those that had been slain. You can see here this outbreak of rebellion once again. And it's not just a few. In fact, in verse 41, it says, "All the congregation of the children of Israel." They have all, to a man, they have all turned against Moses. They have turned against Aaron. In doing so, they have turned against the Lord and His appointed servants. It is at this point that the Lord begins to move again. And the Lord begins to speak. If you notice in verse 42, "And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared." The Lord now intervenes. And the Lord appears, and He's there at the tabernacle in the form of the cloud. The Shekinah glory that dwelt there covered the tabernacle, dwelling above the tabernacle. And as the Lord is there and His glory is revealed, the Lord will speak to Moses. Do you notice what the Lord said in verse 45? "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." And they fell upon their faces. And so the message here from the Lord to Moses is that He's going to move against the whole congregation of Israel. And He's saying He will consume them in a moment. That was the message from the Lord. And the plague begins to move. The wrath of God begins to fall. And Moses, you can see something there of his reaction. "Moses said unto Aaron, 'Take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun.'" Moses knew that God was beginning to move in judgment, and that plague was coming across the camp of Israel. And as it moved across the camp, there are those individuals who are dropping down dead at the judgment of God. And Moses calls on Aaron to intervene and to run into the midst of the camp, that the death march would be halted. And that's where the words of our text come in this evening. Speaking about Aaron, he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now, when you picture Aaron there in your mind's eye this evening, and you think of him as he stands between the dead and the living, he becomes for us a beautiful type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is our Savior, the one who is our Mediator, the one who is our great High Priest, the one who came and the one who stands between the living and the dead, the one alone who can halt the wrath of God from falling upon the guilty. And so here, when you think of what Aaron did, we see something of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the Savior, and we see salvation here. And as we think of that together, I want you to notice with me, firstly, the response of Aaron. It's a Christ-like response. The response of Aaron here. And certainly he shows love. Remember, the people here that he's running into the midst of, the people that he's trying to save, were the same people that in this chapter we read of rising up against him, opposing him, rejecting him, despising him, even trying to destroy him. And here we find Aaron, and he's willing to go into the midst of them to stay the wrath of God, to see that the plague would be turned back, to see that individuals might be saved from the wrath of God. He shows great love, because Aaron could have stood back and said they're getting their just reward. They're getting what they deserve. They're now going to face the condemnation from the Lord because they've rebelled against the Lord. They've sinned against the Lord. Therefore, he could have stood back and said, it's a just condemnation. But he didn't. In love and in mercy, Aaron intervened here. And can you see that wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is despised and rejected of men, the one who came onto his own, but his own received him not? And yet in the eternal counsels of the Godhead, in the basis of love, a plan was devised. And the way was agreed whereby souls would be saved from the wrath of God. And that involved the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, coming into this world, coming into the midst of a sin-cursed world. A world that deserves condemnation. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, in love, came into this sin-cursed world. And so we see that with Aaron, that he acted here in love. But Aaron also responds with a willingness. He shows his willingness here to come right into the midst of the camp of Israel. And when you look there into the verse 47, it says, "And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people." And so Aaron here is showing that willingness to run right into the midst of the camp where the plague was. And if you were following in the Bible reading, you would have noticed where he came from. He came from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And remember, that's where the cloud of the Lord's glory was, the Shekinah glory that was there above the tabernacle. And so Aaron came from the place of glory into the midst of the camp where the sin was. And he was willing to go right into the midst of the camp, to go to a people who were guilty, a people who were hell deserving, a people upon whom the wrath of God was already falling, and Aaron was willing to go. Surely you can see there again that picture of the incarnation. The blessed Son of God was willing to come from heaven's glory. He came from the place of glory, the place of dazzling splendor, where he had that glory with the Father before time began. And there's the Lord Jesus Christ, and in love, he shows that willingness to come right into this world, to come to the place of the curse. Sin-cursed world. The Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come. There's something else here about Aaron's response. That is the urgency of it. And you notice there in the very center of verse 46, when Moses is speaking to Aaron, he said to him, "Go quickly. Go quickly onto the congregation." And when you look at verse 47, it says, "And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran." And so Moses said to him, "Go quickly." There's an urgency here. And we read that Aaron ran. And it is said that Aaron by this stage was an old man. But doesn't it show something of him when he's willing to run here? He shows that urgency. My, he shows here how diligent he was in wanting to see these individuals being saved. You see again the Lord Jesus Christ, who in love was willing to come, and when he came into this world, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And nothing would deter the Lord Jesus Christ from that path. And they knew that he was going to the city of Jerusalem, that there, just outside the city wall, on Golgotha's hillside, the place of the skull, he would lay down his life in order that souls would be saved from the wrath of God. And surely we can see here with Aaron's response something of a foreshadowing of our Lord and Savior. The one who left the splendor of heaven's glory and came into this place of sin, evil and wickedness in order that he might save. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we notice here the response of Aaron that points us to the Savior. But I want you to notice with me here, secondly, the remedy. The remedy here was the atonement. When you look at the instructions that Moses was giving to Aaron here in verse 46, it says, "And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation." And then we read these words, "And make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun." Moses was commanding Aaron. Aaron was the high priest. And it was his responsibility here to make atonement for the people. And in order to make that atonement, he had to take the censer. The censer was a metal vessel that was capable of taking the hot coals from off the altar. And so the hot coals from off the altar would have been put into the censer. And then he took the incense, and the incense was sprinkled upon the hot coals, and the incense therefore ignited. And it began to send this cloud of incense. And it became that sweet smell. That's what was used on the Day of Atonement. And we read of that in Leviticus chapter 16 and the verse 12. "And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil." And so here was this sweet smell, that cloud made by the incense. And that was indicating the sweetness and the value of the sacrifice before the Lord, that it was satisfying to the Lord. Aaron is the high priest. He had to make that sacrifice. He had to make that atonement. And I can see him in my mind's eye as he takes that censer with the hot coals and the burning incense and the cloud of smoke that's coming out of that censer, and he runs into the midst of the camp where the plague is sweeping through the camp, and he begins to wave that censer and he's making atonement on the basis of the sacrifice. You see, those hot coals, that shows us that the sacrifice had already been made, the burnt offering. That sacrifice had gone up before the Lord. And here, on the basis of the sacrifice, on the basis of the fact that the blood had been shed, atonement has been made, and the wrath of God can be stayed. Because of the sacrifice, the atonement. And here Aaron stands, as our text tells us, he stood between the dead and the living. And quite literally, to one side of Aaron there are dead bodies, 14,700 dead bodies. And to the other side there are those who are alive. And Aaron is there in the middle, and he's the one who's been able to stay the plague on the basis of the atonement, on the basis of the sacrifice and the value of that sacrifice. It's as if Aaron is there pleading the shed blood as he runs into the middle between the dead and the living. You see the picture there of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who has made atonement, who has made himself that sacrifice. He is our great high priest who makes the sacrifice, but he himself became the sacrifice. And he made that once for all sacrifice for sin upon the cross of Calvary. He shed his precious blood in order that the wrath of God would be turned away, in order that the plague would be stayed, in order that sinners would be saved from hell and from the wrath of God. That's the only remedy tonight. The remedy that has been accomplished by our Lord and Savior. He's the only one who was able to save. He's the only one who is able to come. And the Bible tells us, save to the uttermost. All them that come unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth, to make intercession for them. The Lord Jesus Christ is the remedy for the soul tonight that faces the wrath of God. It's only through the shedding of the Savior's blood that the wrath of God can be turned away from you. Therefore, we would encourage you, we would urge you tonight, we would plead with your soul that you would come and close in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Know him tonight as your own and personal Savior. And so we have thought about the response here of Aaron, and we have thought about the remedy that Aaron had. And then I want you to notice with me the result. And there in verse 48, our text of Scripture, he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. That was the result here of Aaron's intervention. The plague was stayed. It's repeated in verse 50. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. God's mercy. God's mercy in sparing a sinful people. And he spared them on the basis of the atonement that had been made. Without Aaron's intervention here, they would have all faced the wrath of God. But because Aaron intervened on the basis of the sacrifice and he made atonement, lives are saved and the wrath of God is turned away. In place of punishment, there's now pardon. Whenever the plague was stayed, Aaron's work was done. And Aaron returned to the place of glory. Aaron returned to the door of the tabernacle there where Moses was, indicating that his work was complete. And once the Lord Jesus Christ had suffered and bled and died upon Calvary, of course he was buried, and on the third day he rose again and he ascended into glory. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father on high, because the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in relation to the atonement, it's complete. And thank God tonight for the sinner. The wrath of God is stayed for the one who will come to accept the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Savior. And we would urge you tonight to flee to the Lord Jesus, to flee from the wrath which is to come, and to know that tonight, while his work of atonement is complete and he's seated at the right hand of the Father on high, the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. The Lord Jesus Christ tonight who prays for his people. And he will continue to pray until every last one of his people are gathered into glory to be with him. Do you see tonight how from the Old Testament scriptures and from this particular narrative and the life of Aaron were pointed to the Savior and were shown the way of salvation? The way tonight that you can be saved from the wrath which is to come. And though that the Lord would take up his word, would apply it with power to your heart this evening, and you would know what it is to be saved, to be shut into the Savior, and to know tonight that when the wrath of God falls, you're going to be safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can stand between the living and the dead to stay the wrath of God. May the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts this evening.